They do say that the fruit does not fall very far from the tree. And I do believe that is correct in this case. It is a pleasure not only to be with Brother Tom and Sister Carol, but certainly even to see Josh and the love and the affinity that I have for just the entire Moore family is truly wonderful. Good to look out and see so many other friends and those that I cherish, to be able to see both Jacob and Greg, to enjoy Brother Drew's lesson in the last hour. I appreciate Mike and the prayer that he has led just previously. He is beginning his studies next month, Lord willing, at the Southwest School of Biblical Studies. And I know that he and his wife Rachel, they have two very lovely children. They're looking for a little bit more support. They're running a little bit behind in their funds, and maybe there's a congregation represented here or a family that would like to be able to help them out. I would certainly vouch for them, and they would be worthy of your support, and I know they're going to be a great asset to the school for the next 2 years. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." The Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone." It's in Genesis chapter 1, leading in chapter 2, that we see God's wonderful creation of the heavens and the earth, all that is in the universe. And at the end of chapter 1, He pronounces it very good. But it's in chapter 2 and verse 18 that we read for the very first time by inspiration our Lord's displeasure with something. The first time He ever mentions displeasure, it is in looking upon the loneliness of man, His crowning creation. The solution? I will make for him a helper suitable to meet his needs. And so we read as chapter 2 continues that He put Adam, the first man, into a deep sleep, opened up his side, took from it a rib, and from that rib made a spouse. God understands full well that loneliness can be overcome with a spouse. And thus having a relationship with a loved one in that measure, by God's design of the home, that's God saying to us, "I am concerned about you. I care for you. When you hurt, I see and take notice. And I want to do everything within my ability to solve the problem," which He did for the first man. And He has done for me 23 years with my beloved wife, and He has done with many of you. In fact, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul, by inspiration, in describing the love that Jesus has with His church in Ephesians chapter 5, describes it with the relationship in a marriage, a husband and a wife. Goes into great detail talking about that beautiful relation, verses 25 through 33. But then at the very end, makes sure He comes right back around and ends where He begins and says, "Now, I've said a lot of great things about a husband and a wife, but don't miss the point. I'm talking about Christ and His church." And to illustrate that, to be able to get into the mind of mortal man, He chooses the one relationship that is most precious with us next to the relationship we individually have with God, and that's the individual of our spouse, the relationship with our spouse. How fascinating that the Apostle Paul spoke by inspiration, and yet he himself did not enjoy such a relationship. Oh, he had many great companions. He even had several sons in the faith, but he never had a wife. I think about loneliness and its potential to impact each and every one of us. Loneliness is not something that affects the aged individual whose spouse has died. Loneliness reaches even deep to the adolescent. Loneliness affects a lot of people. You can live in a tiny town, or you can live in a great big metropolis, and you can still suffer from loneliness. In fact, you can be in a crowd of people and still suffer from loneliness. Because it's not the numbers that affect loneliness. It's relationships. That's why loneliness is tragic, even when individuals may bring it upon themselves based upon decisions. But loneliness is most hurtful when it is out of our control. And when we lose a spouse, it can be a very devastating moment in our lives. If you have your Bibles, please open them with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's a little bit difficult with the specificity of this particular topic to really understand where to go in God's Word to find some help. Certainly, we see from cover to cover individuals who have been affected by loneliness. Even great men of God were hit with loneliness at one time or another. Infamously, Elijah literally capped his great victory, his, pun intended, mountaintop experience from Mount Carmel, and yet he is running for his life and finds himself deep south in the wilderness, hit with loneliness just mere hours or days later, if you will. I believe we could even imply that John the Immerser was hit with loneliness from his jail cell when he sent his disciples to question whether or not Jesus really was the Christ. Great men of faith even suffer from loneliness. But does God have anything to say to help us cope with such? Let's look at the Apostle Paul. Here in his later days of his life, we see him give some indication that he is dealing with loneliness. Once again, he never had a spouse, but he is hit with his own mortality. Loneliness may not only come from the one who is on the receiving end of a spouse that is dying, but I would submit to you on the front end as well, for one who expects mortality and sees it forthcoming. Let's look at the Apostle Paul. I want us to begin by noting the causes of loneliness. And I believe Paul here is able to inform us of some causes of loneliness so that we, when we face loneliness, even the loneliness of the death of a loved one, we're able to pinpoint the cause, and that is the beginning process for us to be able to cope with that. So let's note, number one, transitions in life. Transitions in life. Paul, beginning in verse 6, says, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul is able to see, I am hitting a transition in my life. And we all face various transitions in life. And many times these transitions can bring about a state of loneliness. Maybe we are needing to move. And maybe because of a job transfer, maybe we've lost our job, or maybe we're having to find a new location to provide a better income for our family. We have to pack up and break off relationships that mean so much to us and move to an area where we know very few people. And for many people in such transitions, that can bring about a state of loneliness. Maybe it's the local student graduating from high school, leaving behind all of their friends with whom they have associated for years and moving to the big city to college where they know very few people. Again, transitions in life may bring about loneliness. Maybe it's the transition in life that is hit when our loved one passes from this life to the next. When their soul has left their body, James 2:26, and they are no longer with us. Transition in life can bring about loneliness. Number two. Not only transitions in life, but separations in life. Separations in life bring about loneliness. Note now, Paul is in a Roman prison, and he recognizes within this text from verse 6 through verse 22 that he is separated from those that he loves very dearly. In fact, as he is writing this letter to his young protege, Timothy, he actually mentions more than seven people that he asks Timothy to communicate with, to salute, to certainly send his greetings because they are on his mind. But to Timothy, the one specifically to whom he is writing, he says not once, but twice, the fact that this separation from him is having an effect on him. Verse number 9, he says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." And then drop down to verse number 21, and you'll see the same sentiment once more. "Do your utmost to come before winter." There it seems as if there is a sense of urgency in the pen of the Apostle Paul, writing to his dear loved one to hurry and make haste. Certainly before winter, when travel would become much more difficult, he wants to see the one from whom he is separated. Paul wasn't married, but Paul was a people person. Paul, everywhere he went, had companions with him. First missionary journey, he did not go alone, had Barnabas with him. Second missionary journey, took Silas, found Timothy, later Luke and Titus, and he had companions constantly. Paul was a people person, but now in this prison, very few are with him at all. Separations can take place and bring about loneliness. So here's the couple, married for 30, 40, 50 plus years, and all of a sudden death has taken their loved one, and they find themselves separated. Oh, how tragic. The marriage bonds that God created, the bonds that are described in Genesis 2 and verse 24, the fact that the two shall become one, the fact that they are to cleave to one another. I love that word. I'm sure you've heard before. The Hebrew term there for cleave literally means glued. Husbands and wives are to be glued together as one. I've used this illustration before, especially effective with young people, to ask if there is anyone who would allow me to be able to bring them up on stage, give them some super glue, and let's just glue their hands together to see what would happen. Wouldn't that be great? And I never get a taker. I wonder why that is. Well, you know, super glue your hands together and then the great pain that it would take, literally even the ripping of flesh that would come about to get these hands separated. Don't you know that's what happens? When a husband and wife that years in holy matrimony, they become separated even by death, the pain that emotionally takes place, the loneliness that ensues, the tragic emotional issue that can affect every single one of us. Separations in life bring that about. It may be the case that you can look within your congregation and find those who are hurting, those who have been separated from their loved ones. Maybe you can reach out, pay them a visit, send them a card, call them on the phone, reach out because they're hurting. Isn't that what James said in James 1:27? Pure religion before God and the Father is that one keeps himself unspotted from the world and visits, meets the needs of the fatherless, those who have lost their parents, and widows, those who have lost a spouse. We need to meet the needs. Separations in life. Number three, we see in Paul's case that there are oppositions in life that bring about loneliness. The oppositions in life. He mentions that first in verse number 10, referencing Demas, who hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, departed for Thessalonica. And then he mentions it again in verse number 14 with Alexander the coppersmith, who did him much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. There are times when people face loneliness above and beyond, outside of the loss of a spouse, when people turn on them and oppose them. And maybe you have been in that situation where people have turned against you as these individuals have turned against the Apostle Paul. Oh, we've experienced that on the playground as children, when children can say some very hurtful things, very childish things, making fun of our glasses, or as it was in my case, making fun of my big ears that I had as a boy. And we'd run home with tears in our eyes streaming, crying because children said hurtful things. The problem is it doesn't end when we're children. The problem is that even when we become adults, the same thing takes place. And yet, so very often, the one place where we can find acceptance, comfort, reassurance is the home. And that's by God's design. God's design is for the home to be a shelter from storms. God's design for the marriage is that it is a place of acceptance and reassurance, of confidence and great love, We go out into the world on a daily basis, and Satan has excelled in mercilessly opposing us. And I need a place where at the end of the day, I can come and I can be reassured and comforted and accepted. Incidentally, now I'll only say this as a passing comment, that's why divorce is so painful. Because the shelter from storms ends up becoming the center of the storm. That's why God hates it, Malachi 2. But that's why the death of a loved one hurts so deeply. When we lose the one who has helped us and sheltered us and loved us, even when people oppose us. Number four, there are rejections in life. Transitions in life, separations in life, oppositions in life, and then there are the rejections, which can be the most difficult. Verse 16, Paul says, "At my first defense, no man stood with me, but all forsook me." Paul, how do you feel? You feel deserted? You feel all alone? He was rejected. But he does say, "May it not be charged against them." Within this text, we've seen four causes of loneliness, with the death of a spouse really overlapping over those first two, transitions in life and separations in life. Loneliness can drive people to great extents. Loneliness will drive an individual to get on his computer and sign up with eHarmony and engage in computerized dating. Loneliness can drive people to a psychiatrist or a counselor for much needed help. As is the case in the world, loneliness can drive people to the singles bars to try to find some form of companionship. Loneliness will drive individuals to become workaholics because they know that the most difficult part of coping with loneliness is at night. And so they will very often work themselves to the point where when they do come home to the empty home, they have worked themselves so hard that literally the only thing they want to do is literally fall into bed and go straight to sleep to escape the loneliness. Tragically, there are those who become covetous and believe that material things accumulated can buy them the cure for loneliness, or even worse, how many individuals look to alcohol and drugs as the cure to overcome loneliness? In our same text, Paul gives us three things we can do to cope with loneliness. Three things we can do to cope with loneliness. Number one, utilize our time. We need to utilize our time. Notice with me verse number 13, when Paul says to the young man, "Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments." Paul was not one who was content, even in his present distress and circumstance, to sit around and do nothing. Paul said, "If I am going to be confined in this way, separated from those I love, and with little to do, I can still make the most of my time if I had my books and my parchments. Certainly we know no less than four of these epistles were written from prison, much more than that, even the case. He utilized his time. When individuals are dealing with loneliness, it is tragically easy to become couch potatoes, to literally sit and drown in sorrow and do little to nothing at all. It's easy to fail to take care of your bodies physically, to take care of your mind and your heart mentally and emotionally. But that's when we literally need to pick ourselves up and say, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to find something productive to do. I'm going to utilize my time. Maybe I need to be involved with various ministries of the congregation where I can immediately find a role and help. Maybe I need to be involved in some support groups in the community or find something I can do and use that even as a means of bringing glory to God and souls to the kingdom. Utilize your time. Number two, recognize God's presence. Recognize God's presence. Verse number 17, notice what Paul says. In all of this, he gives the contrast, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Where is God when we are lonely? Where is God when we are hurting? Where is God when we are crying our eyes out uncontrollably because our loved one has left us so? The Bible says repetitively, God says repetitively to you and to me, I will never leave thee, nor yet forsake thee. Hebrews 13, verse 5. God wants us to know He's right here all the time. We need to recognize His presence. Isn't that what the psalmist declared? Psalm 139, verse 7. Whither shall I go from Thy presence? Or where can I flee from Your Spirit? And the answer is, God is always there, near you. Recognize His presence. And then number three, emphasize the needs of others. Emphasize the needs of others. Once again, verse 17, he says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Why? So that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Even at this point in his life, even as he is nearing death, even as when he is confined in jail, even when he is lonely and no one was standing with him, his mind never ever left his mission. His mission of declaring the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles. Even in his loneliness, his mind is on the needs of others. Fight the urge of having a daily pity party. And rather than focusing inward, muster the strength that Christ provides, Philippians 4:13, to be able to focus outward and not inward. You will be amazed at how God helps our hurts when we help the hurts of others. That's how it always is. I can help my hurts with God's aid when I begin looking out and finding those who are hurting, maybe in situations even more severe than my own. There's a book that's entitled Loneliness is Not a Disease. And the entire summary, the premise of this book is that loneliness is not a disease, it is a decision. And so, the Apostle Paul says, if you find yourself lonely, utilize your time, recognize God's presence, and emphasize the needs of others. As we conclude, I want us all to remember the following three things that can help us at any point in time we are lonely, and specifically when we've lost a spouse. Three things God never ever wants us to forget. Number one, He understands. God understands. But God, you don't know what it's like to lose a spouse, a loved one. Well, do we not hear those piercing words in Matthew 27? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God's saying to you, I know what it's like to watch a loved one die. He does understand. Number two, He cares. Not only does He understand, but He cares for you. The Apostle Peter, in describing God, encourages us to cast all of our care on Him, for He cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7. The very same God that said, it is not good that man should be alone, is inviting us to cast our cares on Him. He cares for you. And then number three, He will indeed be with you and help you all the way. Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse 20, that He will be with us to the end of the age. And thus, the sweet psalmist is able to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. God understands, God cares, and God will be with us. May God bless us all.